In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. When read in English, the rich man's plea for mercy doesn't make much sense. Why ask for a drop of water on his tongue? What's the point? How could this bring any lasting relief from the torments of hell? The original Greek text gives the answer. Send Lazarus that he may bapto the tip of his finger in water. The word that is translated dip is a shortened form of the word for baptism. Have Lazarus bapto his finger. Now the rich man's plea begins to make more sense. He knows something of baptism. And in this we see that his condemnation is just. He knows what he had despised and rejected in life. Plain water, of course, has no power to quench the fire of hell, but even one drop of baptismal water works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare. Too late, the rich man begins to recognize the value of baptism, that rich treasure he spurned during his earthly life. But his idea of baptism is corrupted. Of course, it would be. It's an idea spawned in hell. Baptize the tip of Lazarus's finger and then send him down to me in hell. Well, there is no such thing as baptism by proxy. At one time in American history, a rich man drafted into military service could send a slave to fight in his stead. This is how the rich man regards Lazarus. Send Lazarus to do what I was unwilling to do during my lifetime. Baptize his finger. Surely that will free me from the fires of hell. But no, Lazarus is not a slave to do the rich man's bidding. He has been exalted and given a place of honor at the side of Abraham. And also, no man can be baptized for another. Abraham answers, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. Abraham's answer doesn't mean that those who enjoy God's blessings in this life will receive torment in the next, and vice versa. His answer speaks to the faith by which one lives through the blessings and trials of this life. The rich man received his good things with no eye toward heaven. He was, as Joel Osteen says, living his best life now. Everything that was good, everything that he valued, he had in front of him during this life. What need did he have for Jesus' promise of a better life to come? What need did he have for faith? Meanwhile, Lazarus lived with his eyes fixed on the promise of heaven. This hope colored every day of his life. And whatever joys he experienced during his time on earth could not compare to what God had in store for him. This was the promise that sustained him through the days of sorrow, of which he seemed to have plenty. The difference between the rich man and Lazarus was not about who suffered more on earth. It was about how they understood life on earth. For the rich man, this life was all there was. Eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. The good things he received were the highest good he could imagine. But for believers, such as Lazarus and Abraham, even the good things they received in life were evil by comparison to the unspeakable blessings God prepares for those who love him. Remember, Abraham was himself a very rich man. He lived, by the earthly standards of his day, a very comfortable and blessed life. But how did he regard these blessings? As nothing compared to the joys of heaven. Abraham was a Christian. In other words, he lived by faith in the promises of Jesus, with his eyes fixed on the world to come, looking for the city whose builder and maker was God. In very different earthly circumstances, both Abraham and Lazarus regarded the things of this world, even its joys, as evil things compared to the promised joys of heaven. And what about you? Are you experiencing joy and blessing today? Then know and believe that these things cannot compare to what God has stored up for you in heaven. Or are you walking through the valley of the shadow of death, experiencing a season of sorrow or sickness or suffering? Then cling ever more tightly to the promises of Jesus, knowing that even the memory of such things will be swallowed up by the joys of heaven. In the introit this morning, we prayed, O Lord, I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Such is the prayer of a Christian, a prayer born of hope and faith. Meanwhile, the rich man continues his futile attempts to grasp a salvation in hell, which he rejected on earth. I beg you, Father, that you would send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. In other words, they have the holy scriptures, which teach poor sinners of Christ crucified. They have the living word of God, which alone can make men wise unto salvation. What does the rich man think of these holy scriptures? No, Father Abraham. The holy scriptures will never work. The means of salvation that God has provided will never work. Give my brothers something else. Something better, something more powerful and effective for salvation. Give my brothers something you did not give to me. Here at last we see the root of the rich man's unbelief. He despises and rejects the word of God. He did so while alive on earth, and of course he continues to do so in hell. And he blames God for his own damnation, demanding that God do better with his brothers. His rejection of God's word also gives the lie to his request for a pseudo-baptism. For what power does plain water have on its own? It's not magic water. For without God's word, Luther says, the water is plain water and no baptism. But with the word of God, it is a baptism, that is, a life-giving water rich in grace and a washing of the new birth in the Holy Spirit. In life, the rich man esteemed the precious gifts of Christ as nothing. And God, who desires to give good gifts to all his creatures, gave him such things as he would receive. But the poor man received far greater treasures. Yes, we can even say that the sorrows of life became a blessing to him, for these taught him to look not to the deceptive joys of earthly riches, but to the true joys which are stored up in the new heaven and the new earth. I wait for the Lord, the psalmist says. My soul waits, and in his word do I hope. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, pour out your mercy upon us so that we may love your holy word above all other treasures, and so pass through things temporal into the eternal joys of heaven. In the name of Jesus, amen.